dismiss as ridiculous nonsense the idea of a haunted house. After all, who in their right mind believes in ghosts? The thing is, what has happened when several people in the same place and at the same time claim to have had the same strange experience? Is it all a big hoax? Are they barking mad? I don't think so.
I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist. It is already the second Halloween program of our wonderful program roster of three for the month of October, and Brad Steiger, of course, standing by, holding forth from the castle, the magnificent castle. You can see it at his and Sherry's site. Look on the right side of my homepage, rents.com. Scroll down until you see the magical name, the scary name, the macabre name, but the ever-talented name of Steiger. Make sure you have your stereo speakers on. When you click there, you'll see, of course, Brad practicing at the Wurlitzer in the wing of the castle. Somewhere in the castle, anyway. And I think he's standing by there right now. Let's see how the Great Pumpkin is. Are you there?
I am here. The Great Pumpkin is here.
He's there. Well, I couldn't resist the opening. And if for no other reason, we don't want people to think we've become too staid, too set in our ways, that we're still extemporaneously virile. That wasn't bad. How...
Where'd that come from? We must never lose the common touch.
Extemporaneously virile.
Exactly.
And extemporaneous virility.
There we are.
Enough of that.
There we are.
Well, I like that. It is Halloween. It is our special program, number two for the month, and I hope all of you are sitting back and get ready to have some fun tonight. We have some very special guests. We're going to look at some of the entries that have been really just every year. They get better and better. Look at the top of the homepage there at rents.com, or certainly just look under All Entries Are In. Click on that. Below that, you'll see the splash entries, real ghost stories. And, of course, on Halloween evening, we announce the winners, the prize winners. We're going to look at the splash entries that have carried the day, so to speak. One of them will probably be on rents.com that night on the homepage at the top. And they'll be stored for your viewing edification and pleasure all year. We're going to read the ghost story winners as well, which is always fun. And we don't want to forget that the Lord Bradley Steiger appearance tonight, once again underwritten, sponsored, and permitted by the good graces of the ever-beautiful Lady of the Castle herself, who is nearby, I'm sure.
She is nearby, yes, yes. The entries this year... like you say, better and better in so many. I mean, it's I'm having a tough time.
This is going to be difficult. It's kind of like you might as well hang them all on the wall and throw a dart. It's to pick the winner. They're so good, and some of them might. We could almost give them movie ratings. Getting close.
Yeah, yeah.
PG-13, PG-14, PG-15. Whatever.
I don't know, man. And the same way with the stories. There are just so many.
They are.
Excellent. It's going to be very, very difficult. I mean, I'm just scanning now through the splash art.
That's fun. Well, I hope all of you who are online or you have the ability to get online and go to rents.com, take a look at the... splash entries. Splash, of course, is the name we use for the big time images that we put on the front cover of rents.com, and they are pretty splashy, as they say. These are very creative, and for all of you who missed out this year, next year we'll be here before you know it, and I'm not joking. It's ridiculous.
No, I'm afraid you're not. It seems... only yesterday, Jeff, when you were saying in May, it won't be long till Halloween.
I know. I don't know what to tell you. You've pretty well solved it with your stories and recounting of what you heard from that gentleman in the 70s. I guess it was the 70s. Time was definitely accelerating, and many of you certainly concur with that. I I don't know what to tell you, but it's ridiculous. The weekends go by like half a day. The weeks go by like a couple of days. That's it. And then we're there starting another week.
There we are.
Wow.
So I'm really excited about tonight's program.
Oh, sure. This is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to try and give some things away again. We ran out of time last time. We did give some things away, but we're going to give it a shot here.
We will.
I just love that opening. I don't think we could do much bad.
That sets the tone. That's the tone.
Barking pumpkins. We have pumpkins at the top of my homepage. In fact, there's a whole slew of them. If you just click below where it says the second season, or 'tis the season, click here for more crazed pumpkins. Lots of really neat ones, and these are real pictures.
Yes. They're
getting to be very, very sophisticated. And the trick, of course, is if you want your pumpkin to last a long time, don't cut it open. Just do something on the outside. It'll hold up for months.
Because we used to put them in the storm cellar and keep them all year, of course, or through the winter.
Yeah, sure.
Along with the turnips and potatoes and everything else.
And the rats.
And the rats.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah, that's always a sensitive area.
You really ought to tell that story again if we have time, but that's one of the most, it truly is, it's the stuff of 1950s Hollywood B-movies.
I suppose. But you know,
here he comes with the rhythm of life thing again.
A lot of people have had those experiences.
Oh, sure. Most apartment dwellers, yes.
Yes.
Most urban residents, they go through the same thing every year.
Right.
I understand. That's true.
Right.
No question. I mean, jeez. Well, I don't know what visions of the future you have, but maybe you're just a little precognizant tonight about that.
Well, it's when you're down on that survival level, that...
All too true.
Yeah, it does do something to establish within yourself, the rhythms of nature. Truly does. The death, rebirth, seed planting, and then protecting the seed during the winter from hungry rodents who are coming in and chewing through the walls. I mean, it becomes a challenging way of life.
Well, they really were trying to chew through the walls.
Yes, they really were. And can you blame them? Outside, is 8 feet of snow and 20 below.
Inside is the bountiful Steiger table set every night.
Well, I'm afraid it was not very bountiful.
I have visions of Dickens, A Christmas Carol, Ghost of Christmas Present.
Not in that time, my friend.
Ghost of Christmas.
One oil burner to heat the entire house.
Come on now. You're going to make me cry again.
And that's why I would wake up with snow on my... I did. You laugh.
No, I'm not laughing.
You laugh.
It sounds like laughter, but I'm not laughing. I'm commiserating.
You're doing rapid breathing then.
That's right. It's just hyperventilating.
Yeah,
every time I hear that story. No, Brad, when he used to walk to school, well... he didn't have a lot of people put the cardboard inside the shoe, the hole, Brad wrapped his feet in cardboard.
Don't make fun.
And I'm not. I'm serious.
Don't make fun.
No, you got straight A's and you
were just, one of those
surfer wait a minute.
Dudes, But outside of that idealistic California dreaming, there's a harsh reality.
Don't forget
friend.
The drugs. No, never mind. So it made it all tolerable. You got to understand that. It's not easy to surf all those years and play volleyball.
No.
It's hard.
No.
Hard.
I mean, you could have had it been really fun fighting for survival against the rats chewing through the wall.
Well, that's true. All right. Enough of this.
Enough of that.
All seriousness aside now.
All seriousness aside.
That's what Steve Allen used to say.
Right.
That's right. Okay, we're here to celebrate Halloween this year, however you do celebrate it. The obvious... caution and words that we really care about you and we really care about your kids and want all of them to have fun. So you parents, exercise caution, have a good time, know the neighborhood you're trick-or-treating in, don't leave your kids alone. For God's sakes, don't leave them alone. Don't do it. It's just not that kind of a world anymore. have fun, be careful, and truly exercise common sense, please.
And no Ouija board parties.
No, please.
I've been getting emails. My daughter wants to have her friends over.
Come on.
A Ouija. No, I have. I am not kidding.
After
have
all
a
the years of warnings?
And as I say, all the warnings we give. And, you know, what would you advise? And, you know, how would you structure this? And
what would we advise?
I'd begin by throwing the board out.
Yeah. Exactly. That's amazing.
We've talked about this.
I can't. Jeff. No.
Parker Brothers sells it as a game. We can't really blame people. You know, it's a game. But, you know, and again.
That's like not blaming R.J. Reynolds for making cigarettes.
That's right. That's right, Jeff. It's the same kind of thing, but people don't understand. And it's not the Ouija board. The Ouija board isn't going to reach up and bite you. It's what you do when you open your psyche and become vulnerable. Yeah.
You know, more and more people who are involved with channels are beginning to realize what we've been telling them for a long time, that, you know, channeling is real on occasion. But the problem is, you don't know who the hell's on the other side.
That's right.
They can say they're Jesus Christ, but it doesn't mean they are.
It doesn't mean they are.
All right. Stand by. We'll be right back with some of our extemporaneous brilliance in a few minutes. Some sonic journey you'll find interesting. Next. Okay, we're back. And remember this, Brad? Remember this, Brad? Doesn't you dig a hole in the ground? I should be.
Yeah, I remember when you played it.
Or oil well drillers will hear this if they stick their ear over the pipe after they drill down about half a mile.
That's what they'll hear. The Darrow and the Taro screaming down.
So I grab my shovel.
This is, you didn't hear that. This is, the song's been called He's a Loser. Closest thing to a Halloween rock song. Saying, Brad?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't. I don't understand that planet.
Well, that's a different planet from
which I came.
Well, it's
You played that last Halloween.
Oh, you remember?
Oh, yes.
In other words, you're saying, how could you forget?
My brain synapses occasionally still ooze blood, but the memory of it.
Well, it's a little Halloween fun. What the?
Yeah.
Little blood in the brain never hurt anybody, right? It's Halloween. This studio makeup, not a problem.
No, but you have to promise now that the other bumper music's going to be like Halloween and the Exorcist.
I don't want to leave any of our audience out of the picture. That's all. No. You know,
well, okay. All right.
Kids 15 and under, they want to hear something with a little, little oomph into it.
I see.
It's something like that.
Well, you know, I am getting up in years now, so
no. Timeless.
Timeless. There becomes a chasm sometimes between musical tastes and myself.
Using those 50-cent words on me, be careful.
Yeah.
I'll get some better music. Give me a chance. Everyone makes mistakes. I'm not perfect.
I know you have it there. I know you play it.
I'll try.
But just the shock of hearing that again.
It's supposed to be shocking. Halloween. Come on.
Well, it succeeded. Right. There are probably some listeners who are still under the sofa.
You heard it. Sherry shrieking from the top level of the castle, right? Not again. Shut
Not
him up.
Not again.
All right. Anyway, we're going to Let's do. Let's try and give something away now. Want to do that?
You want to give some? Well, I don't think we had any takers for our. I'm trying to flip through my file here.
The trip for two.
To the
nearest 7-Eleven, wasn't that it?
What was the? I think this is the question that we asked.
It was too hard. No one wants to go to 7-Eleven anyway.
Well, everyone has had a chance to look it up now.
Yeah. Well, we found out today that Google and the CIA are in bed together.
That's right. So
CIA is trying to wreck our fun. That's the bottom line.
That's it. They heard we had so much fun.
These are Google-free tests, folks.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
I'm going to throw this one out again.
All right.
And this will be for...
Doesn't work this time, we're going to throw it up.
We will, I guess. We will. I've had a number of people who are disqualified for various reasons say that they thought it was an easy question. So, you know, that's the way it goes.
Say that like Boris Karloff. Come on.
It was an easy question.
Very good.
What is Aleister Crowley's strange link to the U.S. space program? What is Aleister Crowley's strange link to the United States space program? That's it. And you get a copy of Philip Gardner's Secrets of the Serpent in Search of the Sacred Path. Because that's one of Philip's questions that he sent.
Now that's interesting. What's his... They grind his bones up and use it for rocket fuel?
You know, synchronicity, that marvelous phenomena, you know, where you hear a word that you're unfamiliar with and then you hear that word 10 times that day.
Right.
When he sent the question, I thought, you know. And then synchronicity happened.
Mm-hmm.
The answer to this and a reference to this came up in the next two or three things I read in vastly different areas.
True.
So I had an incredible kind of synchronicity with that.
Did you happen to know the answer before that?
I did.
Be honest.
I'm always honest.
I know. I'm just being a little bit rhetorical.
I admit I would have had to scratch my head for a long time before it surfaced, the answer surfaced.
I think it was, the original name of NASA was the National Aeronautics and Satanic Association. Is that it?
You're getting close.
National Aeronautics.
What's coming?
I don't know, a break.
Oh, so already?
Yeah, I told you, time flies. What can I tell you?
Oh.
Half an hour gone already? We just started.
We haven't even asked about the weather yet.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do our little business here at the bottom of the hour. Come right back. Brad and Jeff and all of you and our special guests, of course, on tap for the next 2.5 hours. We're going to have some fun tonight. Lots of things to look at. And a list of top 10 monsters.
Monsters.
To see. Yeah. And more, much more, coming up next. Have a contest, name that tune, so they can't Google that. Right? Are you there, Brad?
I'm here.
It's so quiet.
What's that up in the sky?
If we ask, name this tune. The people can't Google this. You can't go to the CIA website, Google, and find it. What's the name of it? You know. You see what I mean? Oh, Brad.
Yeah, let's do it. Have people name it and give a try.
Stop it right there. We'll do that again. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the contest on the board right now is name the link or describe the link between Aleister Crowley and NASA.
In the U.S. space program.
Right.
It's a very prominent link. Now, I know the one that we left last time, and I'll throw that out, too.
Wait, shall
I? Since it's Halloween.
I should give the number here.
No, give the number, please.
No, I just was waiting. We got such a clairvoyant audience, I thought they could figure it out.
Yeah.
800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. One more time. 800-259-9231 for all the contests tonight. Okay. Give it a shot. Aleister Crowley's link to NASA and the U.S. space program. What is it? All right.
And this, Jeff, is the one with I've lost my record there, but we'll throw that one out. I'm going to throw out the one that we left with last time.
What?
This question.
Oh.
Christopher Lee
uh-huh.
played many ghastly characters in his time, from Dracula to Fu Manchu. But to which Urigo family was he related?
Didn't we have a controversy over this?
Yeah, we had one answer. But I think that was probably a little exaggerated. I know that another author, I guess, had made that statement, but...
Right. Right.
I would really have to see.
Wait a minute now. Our friend in Hawaii got this right, didn't he? He did.
Did
Remember?
He get that one?
Yes, he got it. He lives in Volcano, Hawaii.
Yeah, okay, I know.
And he got it right.
He got that one.
So we
got
to retire that.
I thought it was another one he got.
No, that was it.
I think it was another one he got.
I'm
starting to sound like Groucho Marx.
He'll see. I can't do my George Fenton.
Say the word and a duck will appear. Why a duck? I don't know. Why a duck?
800-259-9231. And I swear that answered right. That was right.
I think he got... No. I know the one he got. He got... who was...
Who was buried in Grant's tomb? I know.
No. He got Christopher Lee's famous cousin, Ian Fleming. The writer of Bond
right.
novels. That's the one he got. That's the one Alan in Hawaii got.
I had part of it right. I knew he won something, and it was
Yeah.
You got me, though.
No. Good heavens, we weren't quarreling. We were discussing
it. Just shamed me.
We never quarrel over anything.
Shamed me in front of millions.
No, I didn't. I was confused also. I admit it. I'm a big enough person to admit when I get confused.
Yes, appearing through the boundless courtesy, grace, and dignity of the lovely lady, Sherry Steger, who also likes 3 hours of solitude twice a month. Never mind. Now we're even. All right. What was that? Who's on the phone? Huh? All right. Stu in Richmond, hello. Welcome to the program. And the answer is, say the answer and win the prize.
All right, Jeff.
Yes,
if I recall correctly, I think I heard Richard Hoagland describe once that Aleister Crowley's protege was, mm-hmm. Or is,
Anton
some sort
LaVey.
Of... missed that. Is like some sort of, has some sort of head management position in JLP, Jet Lab... Propulsions or something.
Pasadena Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Is that it?
Yeah. Okay. Does that help, Brad?
Close.
Yeah, but we have to have a name.
Aleister Crowley's has a relative who worked as...
Kind of a little jumbled there, but you're getting close, my friend.
Getting warm.
But we have to have the name.
Okay, well, you got me stumped then.
Okay, well, go, try again.
Time to hit the Google, huh?
Yeah, don't be dissuaded.
No, listen, you deserve at least honorable mention for trying it on your own.
L- Look, you know, nothing ever stops Jeff and me from just plunging on. So, I mean, you know, have another
go. No, that was
go.
Good. Hey, listen, the man did it out of his own consciousness.
Yes, he did. That's to be applauded.
Well done, sir.
I'm applauding.
Thank you very
much. My final two neurons together and came up with that.
That's two more than some people I know.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, who's up next? Who's that? Matt in Pennsylvania. Hello, Matt.
Are you
there? Hi, welcome.
Hey, love the show. Love the webpage. The answer
thank
is
you.
Jack Parsons, who is actually a protege under Crowley, along with a man named L. Ron Hubbard. And they were both protégés under Crowley, and of course Jack Parsons went on to Caltech and the Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Man, you nailed it!
Jeez.
Right on point.
You nailed it, Jack Parsons.
In addition to that, L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons used to engage in something called the mutual M word. I won't say it's gratifying yourself.
That's right. You got it. You're an expert. His primary, Aleister Crowley's primary U.S. follower was Jack Parsons. How is he related to the space program? He revolutionized missile propulsion by inventing solid rocket fuel. And then, as you say, what his buddy was L. Ron Hubbard, who, of course, invented Tom Cruise. So,
that's a good one.
Well, that's good, Brad. You got a new writer. That's good. That's good.
So you got it, my friend.
Now,
you nailed it.
All right, hold on.
Happy Halloween.
Matt, we have to ask you
Happy Halloween to all.
Hold on, Matt.
I have a couple of Lester's books. So
I got to ask you a question.
Once you asked the question, I immediately called in.
Good. All right. Now, seriously, you knew this from reading the books.
Yeah, sure.
You just knew it.
I knew this for a long time. There was a writer called Robert Anton Wilson, and his book Cosmic Trigger goes into this in great detail.
Yes, he does.
Yes, and that's
good old
I got
Robert
the
Anton. Right.
Well done. Stand by. Leave your name and address and your phone number with our producer, and we'll get your gift right off to you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Matt.
Great. Great job. And,
see, now that wasn't so hard, was it?
See, Jack Parsons. He also had the late night talk show in the 50s, didn't he?
No.
No?
No.
Well, am I close?
Yeah, you're close. Close.
Hmm. Probably tell them what the real answer is so they don't wonder what it was. Okay, very good. We're off to a good start. We're going to come back and meet our first special guest tonight in just a couple of minutes. Glad all of you folks are along. We try to have some fun a couple, three times a month, especially in October, and we're doing that and hope you're enjoying it, and we'll be back. Yeah, I can hardly hear that. I don't know what's wrong. Something wrong in the studio? I can barely hear that. Like it's not... All right. That's some of the most creative music from any monster film. Brad knows. Many of you may know. I don't know. That might be another good contest thing.
Yeah, I think we should. I mean, that would be one good one coming up. I guess it's too short notice now, but I mean...
Yeah. Could you hear that?
I can hear it, yeah.
I could hardly hear it.
Could hear Goldie's coming.
Good. All right. Maybe the studio, maybe my producer had a studio mic open. I couldn't hear it. Weird. All right. So let's go ahead now and welcome our first guest, who probably has gone out to take a couple Tylenols by now after all the nonsense he's been listening to.
He's tough.
Yeah, I hope so. Go ahead and introduce him.
Well, I want to give just a little preamble first before I bring on a good friend of mine. I sent you, Jeff, a couple of weeks ago, probably more than that now, I had seen the media psychology lab at California State in L.A. did a poll for the top 10 movie monsters of all time.
I hope we have it posted.
Yeah, you do have it posted on my page. And they said The Exorcist was the most frightening movie of all time, but then they named the monsters. Number one was Dracula, the 1931 with Bela. Two was Freddy Krueger from A Nightmare on Elm Street, and that's the original, 1984, not the sequels.
There were 38 sequels, weren't
there? The 38 sequels, yeah. The Frankenstein monster is number three, the original with Boris Karloff in 1931. And the theme you were just playing, Godzilla, the prehistoric monster from 1954. King Kong from 1933, that version, not the newest one. Six was Chucky, the little monster doll from Child's Play, 1988. Then was Michael Myers, the masked murderer in the film Halloween, 1978. Eight was Hannibal Lecter, the cannibalistic killer from Silence of the Lambs, 1991. Then was Jason from Friday the 13th, 1980. And then the Alien from 1979.
Uh-huh.
So I had the bright idea, why not send out a survey to approximately 200 cryptozoologists, ufologists, paranormalists, psychical researchers about the most, or the top 10 real life monsters. And that's how we devised the 10 that we have shown on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And participating in that survey and helping me now to describe each of them is an inexhaustible monster searcher and hunter in his own right, Mr. Paul Bartholomew.
Hello, Paul. Welcome back to the program.
Hello. Thank you. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Paul.
Say hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Thank you. I was starting to get depressed there for a moment.
He said hi to you first.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Boy, sensitive tonight. We are sensitive.
Sorry, it's Friday. How are you doing, Paul?
Good, good. How are you?
All right, thank you. It does no good to complain, but thank you for asking. That's like the guy says, have a nice day. I said, well, thank you, but I've got other plans. All right, now, Paul is here to talk about his specialty, among other things. We're going to talk about top 10 real-life monsters. Shall we direct them to the page, Brad?
Yes, now is the time to direct
On the Steiger page, yes.
The page.
Left-hand side, column, top... Number three, you'll see it in blue, top 10 real-life monsters. Okay. Say something.
Now, for number one, not, I think, to be puzzling at all, we have a tie. And the tie is between Bigfoot and Mothman. Now, Paul, of these two... Which would you say is more likely to actually have a strong basis in reality?
Well, I would say that based on a lot of the research I've done, that especially of creatures throughout the world, that there's an awful lot of evidence for the existence of Bigfoot-type creatures. If you go overseas, I mean, you have the Yeren in China, the Almista, Soviet Union, so forth. So I would say Bigfoot probably has an edge there, and Mothman seems to be derived from about a year-long period there at Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where it culminated with the bridge collapse, the Silver Bridge.
Uh-huh.
So I would say that's more of an isolated type of creature, although we have various forms of Mothman and the Houston Batman and so forth throughout the world as well.
We've had a lot of winged, or what appear mm-hmm. to be winged humanoids, I mean, from Mexico to the U.S. to, I guess they've seen them in most countries of the world, those countries that follow these things, South America.
Well, I just wanted to... mention that I think in a little footnote to me, you wrote that you thought one of the most frightening ones was the case that I think Jeff is referring to in Mexico, this winged creature.
Yeah, because it was such a credible event, because the you could see the fear etched in the young policeman's face.
Yeah.
After he blacked out after encountering what he called a witch. They called it the flying witch there.
Well, he was in shock. I mean, I never saw anybody more clearly in shock. And that story is on, it's somewhere on my website in the archives. Mexico, policeman attacked by whatever. He was driving his patrol car, and I know a medium-sized city in Mexico, a young guy, officer, and something leaped out of a tree, landed on the hood of his car, and began to claw wildly at his windshield, trying to get through it to get to him. He described it as a female being of some kind with wings. I mean, he was shook.
So the winged creatures, like Mothman, as you said, Jeff, they are reported many times. Now, Mothman, okay, it has the bridge collapse, it has a series of what some people might say extraordinary coincidences. Why do you think the Mothman retains such a hold on people, Paul?
Oh, it's definitely a classic Kiel type of reporting with the men in black involved and the prophecies and so forth, and the disaster that that culminated with the bridge collapse. So I think it's got all the elements.
Well, I had Richard Gere in it, too. That's frightening enough right there.
Now, Bigfoot, of course, as I said, it was a tie, an absolute tie between the two. Bigfoot didn't surprise me because I think the scientific evidence indicating that something of this description is out there, even if I sometimes insist that it might be paraphysical rather than physical. But now, you were telling me earlier today that you've had a number of new sightings in your area of Bigfoot, right?
Yes. In fact, fairly recently, we had one on Labor Day, which would be the September 4th of this year, at about 8:45, along Route 4, which is a road that goes through the White Hall, the main route. And it's outside of Whitehall, if you're coming from the Vermont into New York area. And before they got to Whitehall Village, they saw this thing standing beside the road, somewhere between 6.5-7 feet tall. And there were four people in the vehicle, all very credible. And one of the people I interviewed, he said, it took about 20 seconds for him to say it, but he finally said, "Did you guys see that?" And they all had seen it. And they all drew a picture of this creature. They said it had a face. It was. It looked as if it may have been crossing or just standing beside the road. And there was no description of red eyes, but it was, one of the quotes here is, it was tall with two dark eyes close together.
Now, something we should mention with Mothman is he's always pictured or described with glowing red eyes, and actually the original reports speak of eyes that the light reflects, like an animal, how it reflects the light. But in the legend and folklore, if we want to call it that, and I think we probably could, he's always described as having glowing red eyes, isn't he?
Yeah, that definitely would make an impression on someone. We also had another sighting, now, that took place within a month of that sighting. It took place October 6th of this year at 10:30 in the evening. Three teenage girls were walking down a path from their camp, and they saw this thing standing at about 30 feet away or so, and it's standing at the edge of the path. And I said to the one girl, I said, "What'd you do?" And she said, "We all screamed." And she said,
"What else would teenage girls do?"
Well, her two friends took off and exited from where they had came, and she said she just froze. She couldn't move. And she looked at the creature, looked back at her friends that had exited the area, And then when she looked back to where the creature was standing, it was gone. And so this is a sighting that occurred within, well, I'd say within 2 air miles from where the other sighting had taken place.
Yeah, and recently, these were all in September, right? Both in September?
Yep. Well, one was September 4th. The other was October 6th. Both of them coming only a few days before the full moon.
Very recent.
Okay, very good stuff. Of course, with Bigfoot, we have footprints. We've got hair. We've got all kinds of physical evidence, so... little doubt about that, but Brad's point about being a the animal being maybe, I don't know, what would you call it, Brad? Bi-dimensional?
Yeah, multidimensional, yeah. Paraphysical.
It's certainly possible. Okay, stand by if you would, ladies and gentlemen. We'll pause, do a little business, and come right back with more in a couple of minutes. See you then.